Chapter 1. Creed, Colorado, November 1885.
Give me the gun. It's my turn to plug 'em full of holes.
Hope Anderson stood beside her adopted sister, Charity Montgomery, and held her palm open to accept the gun. Chilly and clear, the December mountain air, mixed with the acrid smell of gunpowder, filled Hope's nostrils. Her red-headed sister reluctantly handed over the still-smoking Colt Peacemaker with a bit of advice.
Okay, but remember, you don't jerk the trigger. You squeeze it, slow and steady. Just...
I know. Just squeeze. Hope strung out the word and smiled at her sister's dogged determination to teach her how to shoot. Charity grinned back.
That's right. Now put a bullet right between that sidewinder's eyes.
Charity stood beside Hope and stuck her fingers in her ears.
A little bloodthirsty, aren't you?
Hope turned to look at her sister, but kept the pistol pointing at the man on the barn.
Maybe just a little bit, but I like to see a man put in his place when he's been bad.
Hope knew her sister well enough to know she didn't want to hear the story behind that statement. So instead of further conversation, she turned toward the target and wrapped her right hand around the butt of the heavy gun and then her left hand. Her outstretched arms quivered a bit before she steadied them enough to look down the sights of the long-barreled pistol. Could she do it? Could she really put a bullet in the space between the man's eyes? Her finger on the trigger, Hope focused on the man's face drawn on the side of the old abandoned barn just outside of Creed. She squeezed pressure against the trigger bit by bit and braced for the moment when the bullet left the gun. Just one more tiny little squeeze and...
What's all the shooting about? Someone in trouble?
The sound of the unexpected deep baritone voice startled Hope. Her finger squeezed the trigger and the pistol exploded, sending a bullet.
Well, she wasn't certain exactly where it went.
Hope spun around to face the owner of the familiar voice. Unfortunately for everyone, the pistol in her hand followed. Sheriff Miles Grayson put up his hands. So did the devastatingly handsome man standing beside him. Too late, she realized she still had a loaded gun in her hand, and it was pointed straight at the tin star on the lawman's chest.
Sheriff Grayson,
she whispered. Charity reached over and grabbed the gun from her hand.
Dang it, Hope. I thought I taught you better than that. You don't go pointing a loaded pistol at a man unless you plan on killing him. You're going to get someone killed, and it's liable to be you if you keep drawing down on a lawman.
Charity slipped the pistol back into the holster she wore low on her hip and faced the two men standing in front of them. She shot Hope a look that said, "Now look what you've done." Embarrassment colored Hope's face.
I'm so sorry. I wasn't meaning to point the gun at you. I was... Well, you startled me, Sheriff. I wasn't expecting anyone.
She turned her attention to the other man standing alongside the sheriff.
Hello, Billy.
Her voice sounded breathy even to her own ears.
Hello, Hope.
Her heart fluttered in her chest when the man's deep blue eyes gazed down at her. Billy Buchanan was the most handsome man she had ever laid eyes on. His even white teeth peeked at her through the scruff of a day-old beard, which did nothing to hide his twin dimples. She felt a little weak at the knees. But she reminded herself Billy Buchanan wasn't the man for her. He had admitted to trying to steal his best friend's wife, who ultimately died, along with his friend's unborn child.
Are either of you ladies going to answer my question?
Sheriff Grayson walked closer and looked in the direction she and Charity had been shooting. Hope understood the sheriff's hesitation. No one in this part of the country would consider her or her sister a lady. But, as always, the sheriff was much too nice to say something about that fact in front of her always unpredictable sister. Hope watched her chatty sister's tongue lock up in the presence of the sheriff. It was as if she took on the qualities of those fainting goats old man Edwards brought from his former home in Tennessee. It was the strangest thing Hope had ever seen. But the resemblance to her sister was noteworthy when the sheriff was nearby. Hope smothered a grin behind her gloved hand. Since it didn't seem like Charity was going to regain her ability to speak anytime soon, Hope answered for the both of them.
Good afternoon, Sheriff Grayson. We were just... Charity was teaching me how to use a pistol. You know, in case I ever needed to defend myself.
I see. Well, that's an admirable quality, I suppose. Sheriff Grayson's voice drifted lower, and Hope was certain he realized too late he almost gave her sister a compliment. But why not leave the protecting to us men next time? A woman with a gun can be, shall we say, problematic.
Why? I would never point a gun at either one of you, at least not intentionally.
Hope was mortified the sheriff would think she was capable of shooting someone. But everyone in town knew another of her adopted sisters, Faith, had shot a man to death, and her sister Grace took the blame for it. So it would stand to reason the sheriff and the folks of Creed would think her capable of violence, too. Billy walked up to her and grinned. He smelled of sunshine and horses and leather. It was a heady combination that made her feel things way down low. Things a proper young woman shouldn't be thinking about, as she went to great lengths to appear she was every bit the proper young woman, regardless what her bloodline might indicate. She worked hard to follow society's rules. It was important to her that she not be compared to the mother she never knew, a Kansas City prostitute who left her newborn daughter on the steps of a run-down orphanage. "Look at your target down there, Hope," Billy said, pulling her from her uncomplimentary thoughts. "Makes a man want to run right out of his boots." She turned and looked at the target painted on the old barn wall.
"I don't see anything."
She stopped short when she saw exactly what Billy was referring to. Instead of hitting her intended target between the eyes, she saw a hole gouged out of the wood at the apex between the painted man's legs.
"Oh!"
Once again, embarrassment heated her face. Hope turned back toward the men and tried to avoid meeting their amused gazes. Instead, she chose to focus on the mountains in the distance, then the pine trees, anything other than their faces. She even looked past them down the road toward town, but her eyes made up their own mind about where to focus, and it was most embarrassingly the same southern point she just shot from the boot-black target on the barn wall. Except this southern point was very real and attached to the man who was aware of where her eyes had drifted, if the knowing grin on his face was any indication of what was going through his mind. Her face felt as if she stood over the blacksmith's bellows. She wondered if this moment could grow any worse. And then her sister somehow found her voice, and she realized, yes, it could get worse. Much, much worse.
"Now, Sheriff, wouldn't you say there's no better way to stop a man in his tracks than to remove his most prized possessions? And I don't have to spell out which prized possessions I'm talking about, now do I?"
Hope watched the sheriff's face morph from shock to neutral to something close to amusement, although the man never cracked a smile. And he didn't answer right away, either. If Hope was a betting person, and she had been known to bet on a sure thing once or twice, although she would never admit to gambling in front of the respectable ladies of the town, the man was picking and choosing his words so as not to offend or encourage her wild and unconventional sister. Hope darted a guarded look at Billy, who was grinning from one ear to the other. He caught her gaze, and she couldn't help but grin back at his breathtaking smile. She admonished herself for flirting. It was especially disconcerting to her that she was attracted to the man. He wasn't someone she should be associated with. He wasn't suitable husband material, to her great disappointment.
"Well, Sheriff, am I right?"
Her sister was never one to let go of an argument if there was a chance she could wear down her opponent. Sheriff Grayson finally answered, "I would think a bullet to the down there would certainly slow a man if he was hell-bent on doing a woman harm, I suppose." The man's voice trailed off. Charity seemed totally unaware of the delicate nature of the conversation she was having with two men in the middle of an overgrown mountain meadow on a cold December day. She nodded in agreement as if she were agreeing to the preacher's sermon on Sunday instead of discussing a man's inappropriate-for-discussion body appendages. But Hope was mortified. This conversation was highly inappropriate for a respectable lady.
"Well, there you are, then. We were just getting in a little target practice. Ain't nothing wrong with that now, is there, Sheriff?"
Hope could see Charity was moony-eyed over the man. Her sister stepped closer to the lawman, and he took a step back and shook his head from side to side. Hope didn't know if he was agreeing no laws were broken, or was conveying to her sister not to come any closer. She had a feeling the lawman was a little bit afraid of one Miss Charity Montgomery. Billy spoke up. "Why would two beautiful ladies..." Billy stopped short and cut an uneasy look toward her sister, then redirected his words specifically to Hope. Let me rephrase that question. Hope, why would you need to know how to shoot a gun when I'm absolutely certain a gentleman would come to your rescue at any given moment? Billy looked at her with those smoky blue eyes of his, leaving no doubt what gentleman he was referring to. Before Hope could answer his question, Charity spoke up.
Well, I'll tell you, Billy, now that you done gone and asked me.
Hope exchanged looks with Billy because they knew no one had asked Charity for her opinion. But again, that didn't stop her sister from plowing ahead and speaking her mind.
First off, ain't no reason to leave the protecting of a woman to a man. What if he ain't around when the protecting is needed? No siree. Ain't no reason to wait on a man. A woman can defend herself proper and right quick if the need should arise, as long as she's had someone teaching her the right way to handle a gun. Otherwise, the stinking varmint can take it away from her, and now she's in more trouble than before. Ain't that right, Sheriff Grayson?
Charity didn't wait for the man to answer, and it didn't appear he was going to anyway.
And if you don't mind me adding, in my sister's case here, Hope has recently been bothered by a man in town, and since we don't know who he is or where he's come from, I decided to teach her how to shoot a gun, just in case he catches her out sometime when some man ain't around.
Charity practically preened when she patted the heavy sidearm at her hip. What do you mean someone's bothering you? Billy's concern creased his handsome face. Hope was embarrassed by all the unnecessary attention. She cut an exasperated look to her sister, who was, as usual, oblivious to the delicate nature of subtlety. Hope chose her words with care to diminish the overstated danger Charity implied she was in.
It's nothing, really. A man approached me in town this week and asked me if I had a bow. That's all it was. Charity here is making a mountain out of a molehill. Ain't no molehill when a stranger grabs your arm to keep you in place. I don't call that nothing. A man puts his hands on me without asking, and I'll be removing them from his body.
Billy laughed at Charity's comment. Hope watched him sober when he realized she wasn't kidding and gave the sheriff a worried glance. The lawman's furrowed brow conveyed he believed her sister capable of just about anything. He stepped back another step. Billy turned his attention to her again. The man touched you, Hope? You point him out and I'll take care he never bothers you again. That's the law's business, Billy. It's my job to protect the citizens of Creed. The sheriff turned to her in earnest. Miss Anderson, come by my office and look at my wanted posters. Let's see if he's a wanted man first. If we don't get lucky there, then you can give me a detailed description of the man. If he's bothering other women, I want something to go on when I arrest him. Hope nodded.
Of course, Sheriff, but he didn't hurt me. He was just being friendly. At least, I think that was his intention.
Billy walked to stand next to her, and her stomach somersaulted when he reached for her hand and held it in his. She was tempted to leave it there and savor the feel of his warmth, but it wasn't appropriate to encourage a man like Billy. And yet, she was reluctant to sever the contact with him. She pulled her hand out of his and looked away from the disappointment she saw in his eyes. Billy nodded his understanding and stepped away, but he didn't shy away from the subject at hand. Hope, the sheriff wants to know what kind of questions the man was asking you. If he's going around town and asking everyone these questions, then I won't be so worried. Just a troubled mind at work. But if he's just asking you these questions, then I'm going to be watching and waiting for him because chances are he'll be back until he gets what he wants, whatever that is. Hope watched this handsome man who had captured her heart almost the day she arrived in Creed when Faith went on trial for murder. If only there wasn't so much baggage between them. Hope, what kind of questions did he ask you? Billy asked again.
He just asked me what my name was and if I was new around town.
So he was just interested in a pretty girl then, the sheriff chimed in. Charity bowed up and frowned at the sheriff.
So you think my sister's pretty?
Hope blushed at Charity's bold remark and glanced at the sheriff. He looked pale as a ghost and ready to run for the hills. She was aware of Billy's eyes on her. Leave it to her sister to create an awkward situation right out front instead of leaving it on the back porch where it belonged. She tried to refocus everyone's attention to something less personal.
How about we all walk back to town and have a piece of Mrs. Whitaker's apple pie? Quite frankly,
I'm starving since I haven't eaten a thing since this morning.
Billy tugged her hand into his, reclaiming her attention. Please know this, Hope. I understand what the sheriff said about it being his job to protect you, and I know that your sister claims that you can protect yourself. But I want you to know you can count on me any time, day or night.
Well, now looky here, Charity said. I see a man with his heart on his sleeve. My sister's got herself a beau. Ain't that sweet, Sheriff? Giving you any ideas about courting someone special?
It was at that moment the sheriff decided he'd had enough of Charity Montgomery's bold advances, it seemed. He offered a stiff bow to no one in particular. I'm sorry, but I've got to finish my afternoon rounds. I was in the middle of them when I heard your gunshots and walked up to make certain everything was okay. Now I best be getting back to town. Billy here will be happy to escort you two ladies back to town. The man tipped his hat and spun on his boot heels like something bad was chasing him. Hope, Billy, and her sister stood and watched the lawman, his spurs jingling in retreat as his long, quick strides carried him down the hill to town.
Well, now, don't that beat all? He didn't even wait for us.
Charity turned to her and Billy, genuine puzzlement marring her sister's beautiful porcelain skin.
What do you think that was all about? The man acted plumb scared of something. Don't he know I got his back?
Hope knew better than to fully explain the sheriff's reaction to Charity's blatant offer to court. Instead, she offered a lame excuse.
Well, he did say he has to finish his afternoon rounds. And you know Miles Grayson takes his lawman job as serious as anybody. Shall we get going? I really am starting to chill to the bone, Hope suggested.
Billy offered her his arm. She should have declined his offer. It was the proper thing to do, even if there was not a single person present to find fault with her actions. And yet, she hesitated to pass up the opportunity to be near him. Against her better judgment, she accepted his offer. The moment her gloved fingers touched his muscled forearm under his wool coat, she wanted to throw herself into his embrace and kiss him until neither one of them could catch their breath. But that wasn't prudent. Or proper. She wished she didn't care what other people thought of her. But her mother hadn't cared what people thought, and look where she ended up, making a living by selling her body. She hadn't cared what society said was proper behavior for a woman, and she found herself with child. The father's identity forever lost in the multitude of suitors, or rather, paying customers. And all too soon and much too young, her mother died of an unspeakable disease. Hope allowed Billy to turn her toward town as she watched her sister stomp off down the road in front of them, determined to catch up with the fleeting lawman. Hope knew that that was a lost cause. The man was nowhere to be seen. Charity was another example of a woman flaunting her rebellion in the face of polite society. People often left Creed's boardwalks to avoid interaction with her sister. People called her crazy, and uncouth, and disgraceful. Couldn't she see what her dismissal of society's rules was costing her? Hope shook her head in silent protest at the injustice she witnessed nearly every day of her life, and the unfair treatment of the saloon keeper who worked hard to help four homeless, motherless girls who had aged out of the Christian orphanage and had nowhere else to turn. And then there were the prejudices against her and her sisters because they were different from the others who preferred a certain kind of normalcy that was out of their control. And yet, even after all the biases she and her sisters had suffered at the hands of the righteous, she would still rather play by their rules than defy them. She was too afraid to ignore them. She hated this insidious fear of rejection she felt deep down in her gut. She wished she didn't care what other people thought of her, but she knew the painful consequences she would endure if she chose not to, and she wasn't willing to pay the price. She stole a look at the handsome man beside her. She knew she was a coward when she wasn't willing to thumb her nose at society's conventions, not even for the man who had stolen her heart. She wished she didn't have to, but Billy Buchanan wasn't the marrying kind. She knew he had quite the reputation around town, and she couldn't trust her future to his safekeeping, even though she had already lost her heart to him. It dawned on Hope that she and Billy were alone. It must have occurred to him, too. He stopped and turned her to him, pulling her against the full length of his body. It was exhilarating to know this handsome, virile man desired her. A sudden thought caused her libido to stutter.
Did all women feel things like this for the man they loved? Did Grace? Did Faith? Or was this an innate trait she inherited from her mother, a former resident of the red light districts? Billy's arms tightened around her, pulling her even closer to his hard, warm body. "A penny for your thoughts?" he teased.
"I'm not sure they're worth the price you're offering."
She looked up into those deep blue eyes and her heart hiccuped hard inside her chest. She drew a deep, calming breath.
"I think we should get back to town. People might talk."
His eyes transformed from the sparkling deep blue of a clear Colorado sky to the dark gray color of storm clouds that gathered over the mountains. A bolt of something delicious shot straight as an arrow to her woman's core. He leaned in and whispered his answer. "I have no care as to what those self-righteous biddies in town think, my dear, sweet, beautiful Hope. And you shouldn't either." His breath teased her skin with his words, sending chills through her. He hovered over her lips, and she was tempted to give in to the pull of his male attraction. She leaned in, but somewhere in the distance, a wagon clambered toward them. The rhythm of the harness bells mocked her weakness.
"You are your mother's daughter. You are your mother's daughter. You are your mother's daughter."
She stepped away from Billy's warmth to give herself a moment to catch her breath and chastise herself for her weakness. She knew better than to give in to her baser needs, and she needed to remember there would be consequences to her actions. Her breath rose and fell in quick white puffs above them. She was having trouble catching her breath, and she shivered, but she was certain it wasn't from the cold. Billy must have felt her shiver and misunderstood the reason behind it. Thankfully, he stepped back and tucked her arm through his.
"Where is my head? You're going to catch your death of a cold out here. Let's get you home and warmed up."
She nodded for fear the riotous emotions in her heart would reveal themselves in the unsteady vibrato of her throat. She wished things could be different between her and Billy, but he had made his atrocious confession to his best friend in front of the customers of the Holy Moses. And Grace. And Sheriff Grayson. He had admitted he had done a terrible thing, and although John had forgiven Billy, the people of Creed still looked upon him as a troublemaker and his actions inexcusable. She really should steer clear of Mr. Billy Buchanan, and yet her attraction to him was undeniable. She and Billy had walked a few yards down the trail toward town when she remembered her reticle. She stopped short.
"Oh, I've left my reticle down by the barn where Charity and I drew the outline."
Billy sat her down on a hacked-off tree stump, bleached white by years of death and sun.
"You sit tight. I'll be right back. Stay warm."
He pulled her cloak tighter around her and smiled that gut-punching smile of his. Before she could assure him she had no intention of leaving without her bag, or him, he trotted off down the hill toward the old weathered barn. He was only gone a few minutes when something caught her attention to her left next to a large stand of aspen trees. She turned toward the movement, expecting to see a deer or an elk standing there. Instead, she saw a lone man leaning against the white trunks of the leafless trees next to the road. Her heart stuttered against her ribs. It appeared he was watching her. She was certain of it when he stepped from beneath the aspen branches and walked toward her. She searched for Billy, but he was nowhere to be seen. Where had he gone?
"Billy?"
she called out.
"Billy, what's taking you so long?"
Panic set in when the man crossed the road walking straight toward her. Fear ricocheted around her head, pushing her heartbeat into a faster pace. She didn't want to panic, but the man seemed determined to approach her out here with no one else around. Was it the same man who approached her in town? He looked like the same man. What did he want? Now she was scared.
"Billy!"
she called out again. This time her voice rose into a shrill note just this side of hysteria. She turned and ran down the hill toward the barn and the last place she saw Billy.
"Hope, what's wrong? I'm here."
She saw Billy step out of the old barn, her reticle clutched in his fist. She ran straight into his arms, his hard chest stopping her short.
"What's the matter? Hope, talk to me."
She breathed in several calming breaths of cold mountain air before she spoke.
"There was a man up there."
She turned and pointed to the spot in the road where she'd spotted him. There was no one to be seen.
I swear, Billy, there was a man coming across the road.
Billy's face changed from amused worry to something Hope had never seen before. Wait here, Hope. I'll be right back. She watched him loosen the leather thong that strapped across the hammer of his pistol, keeping it secure inside the holster on his hip.
Billy, what are you going to do?
The thought of someone shooting back at him made her ill.
Let's just go back to town. I'm sure it was nothing.
He turned on her and pulled her close to him, his steel grip on her arms almost painful, even through her many-layered clothing. His blue eyes darkened with something Hope couldn't name, but it frightened her. I won't allow anyone to hurt you. Ever. Do you understand me? Now tell me, was this the same man who stopped you in town?
I don't know. I mean, he looked like the man, but I didn't see him close enough to say for sure. It could have been.
His question added an extra layer of fear to her growing anxiety. Could this man be after her for some reason? But why? Then I'm not taking any chances with your safety.
Billy, I'm sure when I called out, he realized I wasn't alone. Perhaps it was a miner heading home from the mines. Let's just go back to town. Maybe we can stop by the sheriff's office and look at his wanted posters like he said.
She saw him relax a bit and tension left his body in slow white puffs of icy breath. Yeah, I guess that's probably a better idea. But if he bothers you again, I'm going to give him the thrashing of his life. I don't care what Miles Grayson said. I'm going to protect you no matter what. Do we understand each other? He pulled her close. The feel of his strong arms around her made her wish things could be different, but she quickly squashed the thought. Billy was not the man for her. She wouldn't marry someone who couldn't be trusted, and everyone in town knew Billy couldn't be trusted.
Yes, Mr. Buchanan, I understand the situation completely.